Welcome back to the podcast. We're already at episode 10. I can't believe it. I mean, time's flying by, but, you know, without further ado, let's start the episode out with bringing someone in a little bit early, introducing Phil Vichinanza, philosophy. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend.
That's me. I'm here. I'm a myth. I'm a legend.
Yep, that's Phil. So, Phil, I mean, without further ado, why don't you introduce our guest? You know him. I think you know him pretty well.
Know him pretty well is an understatement. Fought many battles with this man over the years. I'm super excited to have him on the podcast here tonight.
Oh, let's bring him on. Without further ado, Preston Perez. Preston, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, man, what's up?
Nothing much, man. What's going on with you?
I'm just hanging out in my apartment that got flooded today, actually.
How did your apartment get flooded, Preston? Why don't you tell all the viewers?
I was about to actually jump in the shower, and then I heard it sounded like a bulldozer. Up on the roof, and my roommate came banging on the door, and he said the sprinkler just exploded on him and started raining down on him, and the water just went all the way out to the living room. So now the carpet's all torn up, and it's just concrete, and there's tons of fans and dehumidifiers in there. So I'm just hanging out in my bedroom, one of the only places to not get affected, luckily.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Been a wild day.
Sure. I'm sure. So, you know, how did you get started with monster trucks? You know, not many people know how you got started in the industry.
Well, that's a long story, actually. I'm like many that say they're a fan, but I would say I was probably one of the super fans, still am. But I was basically an encyclopedia. Like, I could tell you who drove what truck where when I was about like maybe 7, 6 years old even. And I'd gone to my first pit party and Kevin Lewis was there. I'm sure you guys know him. And he was just crewing for Neil Elliott at the time. And I wanted to get his autograph. I think I was about 11. So then I went up to the announcer, Scott Heaton, and asked him if I could get Kevin Lewis's autograph. And he freaked out. And at the time, I mean, I don't know if Facebook was really still a thing or was as big as it was. So the super fan deal, not many people in the industry knew that there were people like me, super fans like me. Now you see them all over the internet. But he was astonished that I knew who that was at such a young age. And then basically we found out that he lived in my hometown at the time in Spokane. So he helped me out a lot. Like, he would bring me some t-shirts back and souvenirs, like a gravedigger flag or whatnot. And I ended up moving to Seattle, and he got me hooked up with like Roger Steidel and then the Groth twins. And it just kind of went from there. I just volunteered my time and did a lot of the grunt work for various teams. I would ride a bus like 8+ hours sometimes, cross the border of Canada to go to a little 4-truck show, just to sweep up or to shine some tires or whatever. I mean, many people know me. I've relocated if I had to. I've moved to Tucson, Arizona, and lived with Sam Sturgis for a little bit for that opportunity. I've moved all the way. I'm in Hagerstown, Maryland now. So I bet people are wondering why you got me on the West Coast podcast, because I'm originally from Spokane, Washington. But yeah, I relocated over here to be with Mike, and I've just been here ever since.
Well, it's no secret you were a big monster truck fan. You still are. Growing up, you had to have some favorites. What were some favorite drivers and trucks from when you were a kid?
Well, my all-time favorite was actually Brian Barthel. I just always liked him because the truck specifically, because that's the first truck I ever saw. I was just 5 years old, actually, flipping through channels, and they were running the field for World Finals 2, and it happened to be on him. And I just always liked him because everybody back in the day was always Dennis and Tom, because they were the best. And I feel like Brian was one of those few, like Jimmy Creighton, that he would just come up out of nowhere and shock everybody. And he was underrated and winning the world championship and all that. I just always had a respect for his driving style.
So when did you know that you wanted to make a living in the monster truck industry? It's a very unorthodox way to live, and it was always a dream of yours, and you made it come true. So when did you decide that you wanted to be a driver and wanted to be involved?
I think I always knew that I wanted to, but like I think it was when I moved to Seattle and I actually got the contacts to be behind the scenes and all that. That's when it really triggered for me. It was like, well, you know, this could actually be real, because it's like, I mean, if you want to be a rock star, I mean, it seems unreachable, but once you're backstage or you meet everybody, it's like, well, maybe this can be a thing. And so I basically just pursued it, and for a while there, I got a little disheartened because I mean, many people that don't know me, I did grow up with a single mom, and she's a barber, or she was a barber for a long time. So I didn't really grow up with the mechanical knowledge. I mean, I didn't really know much at all. I actually went down and volunteered for about 2 months for free for Bill Payne, and he took care of me. He did a lot for me, and I'll forever be grateful for that. He showed me a lot and gave me opportunities a lot of people wouldn't. So that's what basically got the ball rolling when he said, "Hey, you want to come on the road?" And I started doing shows with him. I at that point, I just couldn't let it go. I was addicted.
So working with Bill Payne, we've had a lot of guests on our previous episodes that have driven for Bill Payne or have been around him a lot. He's a very unique individual, and he runs a very tight ship. Did you find it difficult at all working with Bill or learning from him?
Yeah, it was difficult, I can admit, but you know, I mean, that's I think he that's the way it needs to be. I mean, Bill, obviously, he's one of the best out there, and he's always working on something new, and he's always getting stuff done and just innovating, and I think he wants to see that in other people, and he wants to see people grow and innovate, and you know, I don't think anybody can be exactly like Bill, but he's awesome. And I mean, I definitely look up to him to this day, and to be able to have driven for him when I did, and that was awesome to me that he trusted me to do that. And he was the first one to give me the opportunity to drive a ride truck, which really got me a lot of experience that I'm glad I have. So yeah, I know Bill, he's got quite the fleet. I mean, he's hard to work for sometimes, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad I worked for him because it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot of responsibility and work ethic. I mean, I feel like I've always had a good, decent work ethic, but you'll come to find out if you do or don't if you work for Bill. I can say that.
Well, while we're on the topic of starting out and driving trucks, we have a question from Joseph Rodriguez. He wants to know, what was the first monster truck you ever drove?
The first monster truck I ever drove in competition was Nasty Boy, and Phil was there for that. I mean, you know how I did there. It was all new for me. First time I ever even moved a monster truck, a race truck, was I think the day before the show for about 5 minutes in a parking lot. And I do remember Sam asking me, he was like, "Why aren't you using the front steer?" Because I was using the rear steer more than the front steer. But it was a fun time. I'm glad, Phil, you were there to see it. But yeah, that was the first time. It was Yuma, Arizona in 2015 of October.
Do you remember the sign I painted for you?
Yeah, I do. I still got the picture of you, me, and Christopher Allen.
See? It's right there.
Oh, heck yeah, man.
One of my prized possessions. You don't know how much time it probably took me at least 20 minutes to paint that.
Oh, that's awesome, man. 20 minutes.
40 minutes.
So from your first event out there in Yuma, working with someone like Sam Sturgis, who's just been around the block so many times there and back, What was that experience like learning from Sam, and what was the difference between a guy like Sam versus Bill Payne?
Sam was definitely very laid back. You know, like, he's another one where works really hard, but and he's built a lot up for himself. But I mean, now he laid back a little more. We were done working sometimes by like 4 o'clock, whereas Bill runs a schedule. He's the only one I've worked for that really runs. I think it was, I don't remember if it's like 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 or whatever, but this is more of like a clock in, clock out deal. But I mean, guys still stay late. And I mean, there are some times where I didn't really stay late, I can admit, but there was times that I did, and it was back and forth. And with Sam, it was more so, I mean, I was ready to work more with him, it felt like, because I was so used to being with Bill. And then it was like, oh, we're done already. But, you know, it was fun. Sam, being with Sam was a big eye opener for me, because it really did show more so how much I didn't know and how much I needed to learn. And I still have a lot to learn to this day. Everybody always has something to learn. But being with him really drove me even harder to be like, you know, I mean, I've always known if I really want to do this, I really got to work hard. But it was like, I really have a lot to learn coming from my background to really get to do it. So I've just been pushing ever since.
So you're talking about a legendary driver like Sam Sturges and how you worked for him. Is there one thing that Sam taught you that sticks out in your mind?
You know, I don't know if there's really anything that sticks out. I just remember Sam as I'm just grateful to him, really. Just him seeing me. I don't know exactly what he saw at the time being, but for him to give me the opportunity that he gave me really opened a lot of doors, and I'll forever be grateful for that, whether it didn't end up panning out or not. You know, it was a really great experience. It's not every day that people just get called up and they're like, hey, you want to drive? You know what I mean? Like, I can think of a lot of people off the top of my head. Like, I know Too Tall for one. That guy's worked his butt off for a long time, and it's taken some people longer than others that truly deserve it. So I really relished in that moment. I was like, wow, like, for him to call me and to give me that opportunity, that in itself just really stuck out. And it was really something special to me.
So it was very special indeed, but as in many special things, they kind of wind down. You got another opportunity with another team. How did that work out where you left Sam and you jump shift to the next opportunity?
Yeah, I actually I never really officially worked for Bill when I started with Bill. It was more of a volunteer thing, and I kind of fell off on that because I wanted to go back to school, finish high school. So it was kind of more of a I was there for a couple summer shows, whatnot. And then Sam was really the first one to pick me up. And I stayed with him for a few months, but I mean, he was getting ready to sell the truck. I think he did end up selling Nasty Boy. And it was just one of those things where it couldn't afford to keep me on full time. And, you know, of course, Jacob, better option too, because I think he was living in Arizona or going to school there. And I was living in Sam's house. So it was just, he would help me out. He said he was going to help me find somewhere to go. And I ended up calling Bill back, and that was when I went to Bill Payne, and when I officially, I'd say, worked for him on the payroll, and that's when I got to drive the ride truck, and that's where most of the experience really came in. And then same thing there, shows were just kind of slowing down, and he gave me the notice, basically, that he wasn't going to be able to use me, and that's when I started poking at Mike, because I had met him at the World Finals with my friend Daniel Donnelly, and I had helped him out on Overkill a little bit, and I had gotten connected with him there. But then I started sending him text messages, and I was like, hey, like, you remember me, you need any help, or I'd be willing to go down and crew for you and all that. I think I had to bug him a little bit, actually. I may have called him a few times over time, and then I finally answered, and he said he actually needed somebody. So that's when I flew down to Hagerstown, and then lived in his basement for quite a while. And basically, I was his crew guy for the tail end of 2016, and then the 2017 and 18 seasons, I was his crew guy. So definitely Mike Mike's the one who really got me out there on the map with the school bus deal. But yeah, that's kind of how I transitioned.
So I must give a shout out in the comments to another one of our good friends, Mr. Lumberjack himself, Chris Sawicki. Very proud to call you the STS champion.
Yeah, that was funny. Me and him, and there it was Vegas one year, and we did like a little bracket on, I guess, inexperienced drivers or whatever, and who we would think would win the inexperienced driver showdown. And at the time, me and him were on the bracket. I think I didn't even make it out of round one. But in real life, we ended up racing at a show in Maine in the final round, conveniently. I think it was best 2 out of 3, and I ended up winning there. So ever since, I'm basically the inexperienced driver champion.
I love it. I love it. You know, that's what it's all about, making memories, especially with your friends. And when you have an opportunity to drive for somebody like Mike Vodders, you know, he's a legend in the sport. He said it once. He lived in his basement. What were some of the early days like working with Mike Vodders?
Well, what's it like working with Mike?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. It has its moments, but, you know, I mean, once again, like you said, he's a legend, and I mean, he really knows his stuff. I mean, he's taught me a lot of, he's taught me a lot of tricks on how to get things done, how to get by, you know what I mean? And, there's so much in his brain that I still want to know. I still want to learn. And, I mean, there's plenty of time for that, but I have an overall good experience working for him.
We have a comment from Ethan Jones. He says, great seeing you here in Evansville again this year. You drove like quarantine never happened.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, that bus body, everybody loves it. You know, I love it too. It's definitely a novelty, but I always try to drive a little bit less. And some people may disagree because of my famous crash on a Wednesday night racing Matt Cody. That didn't go so well for me. But yeah, no, I usually get a little, I wouldn't say scared, but I feel like I hold myself back a bit, quite a bit. And I just try to make sure I don't break anything, and I try to just get through the show with that, because it really is a pain to work on and to put back together. And I mean, I know I don't want to put that on Mike either. I don't want Mike to have to suffer for my mistake, you know, and already me being appreciative and grateful for the opportunity. I don't want to just come in there and be some young kid that just starts to destroy all of his stuff, you know? So, I mean, I try to, when I have the bus, I try to keep it on the tamer side, but it was nice to hit the big mountain and to get back out there and stretch my legs a little bit. I had a really fun time.
So what's it like driving a truck like Higher Education compared to maybe, you know, having a normal pickup body on a truck? What's the vision like?
Oh, it's totally different. I actually, Mike was telling me that there used to be a clear Lexan piece up on the roof, like where the cool bus sign is, so you could see better. But mine, you can't see through it. So I have a lot of struggles actually seeing the starting light. In Evansville, that was a big problem, because I was on the side. I was in the lane that the light was right in front of me, but the roof was like just cutting off my vision, like right here, and I couldn't see the light. So I had to wait for Matt to get off the line before I even really did anything. So that can be a pain. And then, I mean, just like I said, racing in it, I don't whip into the turns as fast, or I don't do anything as fast in fear of rolling it. And usually when I'm in a pickup truck body, it's a lot, way different, a lot better. I have more confidence as a driver. I think one weekend in Tantrum, I won racing 3 weeks in a row, but in the bus, I think a total of like maybe 3 times in the whole time I've driven it, because I'd try to get through the show and not break up a lot of parts with that one.
So you've become most notable for being a Vodders Motorsports driver, but there was a brief period about a year or so ago where you weren't with the team. You stepped away. What were you working on during that time, and what team did you end up with?
Me and Mike stepped away, or I stepped away for a little bit, and for a while, actually, to make money, I was, which I have to do right now, a little side fact, I'm doing the whole DoorDash, Instacart food delivery, grocery delivery. Actually does pretty well, but I was doing that for a while and starting to miss the monster truck scene because, I mean, I can't, no matter what I do, I can't stay away from it. So I was looking again, seeing if there was any opportunities. And I actually saw the ad Dylan Fenley put up. He was looking for a, I don't know at the time if it was a driver or a crew guy or whatnot, but he said he wanted some emails for basically some applications. And I emailed him. Come to find out, he told me I was the only one that actually followed the directions of his post and actually emailed him. Everybody else swamped him with Facebook messages. And he told me that was one of the biggest reasons why he hired me at the time. But yeah, that actually was supposed to be me crewing. And I think he had a couple other drivers lined up and they all dropped out. So it was one of those opportunity came knocking and it ended up being my turn and I took advantage of it. I gained a lot of experience with that. That being with Dylan made me more confident today and made me feel like, you know, maybe I could actually be a decent driver because, like I said, with the bus, I've always held myself back out of respect, you know what I mean? So with Dylan, I wanted to hold myself back too, and I tried to respect the equipment, but without those the crazy bus body on it or whatever, and I was able to basically drive a little bit harder than what I was used to, and those trucks performed really well. And there was a lot of types of venues I haven't been used to running in, the smaller arenas, because during the summertime, like, Mike doesn't really do a lot of the small arena venues. He does a lot of fairground shows. So beside that one time I drove Scarlet Bandit for Chris Orell stuff, I never really had indoor arena experience. So it was nice to learn a little bit there and actually pick up quite a few wins. And so, yeah, I was with him for a while before going back to Mike. And it was neat to be able to drive El Matador. That was pretty cool. And Nitro Hornet, and basically, yeah, I learned a lot there. I don't know really what else to say. It was a great opportunity, something else that came along, and I just took full advantage of it.
So you mentioned it. Actually, quick sidebar. I tried doing DoorDash for a day, and I think I lost money at the end of the day, so I haven't done it since.
You got to do Instacart and DoorDash at the same time. You got to double dip.
Well, I'm not doing much these days except for this podcast anyway, so maybe I'll look back into it. But, hey, you mentioned it that you drove Scarlet Bandit one weekend for 2 Extreme Racing. How did that come about, and what did it mean for you to drive a very well-known truck?
Oh, that story, that's awesome, because I was crewing for Mike at a Chris Orell show, and I had overheard that Dawn wasn't going to be in the next group of shows because she was going to be at, I think it was one of her daughter's graduations, and so I actually just went up to Jimmy and asked him. I was like, hey, Jim, I hear Dawn's not going to be there. I'm going to be there, and is it all right if I would drive? And it didn't take much convincing. Jim was like, oh, all right, well, let's do it, basically. And it ended up just going through and working out. And I remember Jim actually coming up to me before that. And he was telling me, he was like, I've seen your driving and I'm not that impressed. And I was like, oh, here we go. I was like, let's see what happens. And then I ended up going first wheelie hit, almost flipped over backwards, but I let the truck settle. And I ended up beating him in the final round of a roundy round course too. He didn't make any mistakes. And I think by the end of the weekend, he ended up like, he came up to me, he was like, you know, I actually think you're a really good driver and all that. So as he was double checking me too on Nut and Bolt and Don's truck, and I had gone through it all, and he was saying how he was impressed that I had everything tight and all that. So I just thought it was pretty neat, you know, like, nothing against Jim. You know, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus by telling you that he said that to me. But, you know, I almost kind of glad he did, because Jim's one where, like, he'll be honest with you, and he's going to be honest with you because he wants to see you succeed too, you know. So it was really cool just in that weekend to prove to him that, you know, I can drive and that I could be trusted. and his equipment. And I think the whole time, all I think a rear steer solenoid burned out on her truck, but that was it. I took care of it, and I got the job done the way you wanted me to.
Our good friend Dallas Glenn Rogers is in the comments, which actually you guys can go watch the Dallas episode. We did that a couple weeks ago, but he wants to know, what's been the best landing truck you've ever driven?
The best landing, probably Tantrum. That truck altogether is an old truck, but there's been a lot of history in that truck, and there's been a lot of really, really awesome drivers that made their name in that truck. And anytime I drove Tantrum, it was fast. It just landed great. I felt comfortable in it. That's probably been the most comfortable I've ever felt.
Well, before I forget, you talked about it earlier, the historic Preston Perez crash. We're going to pull it up on the screen. Well, in your defense, the track was really dusty, but what was going through your mind when you were going over those crush cars?
Yeah, no, it was dusty. I mean, I was trying to beat Matt Cody because I had just I'd done what every driver probably shouldn't do. If you're an independent team owner, you probably tell your drivers, give them the advice not to try to win. And that show, I was feeling good because it was my first show back with Mike, and I just won the wheelie contest deal there. And I thought I was going to be in like a nice, simple race. I wasn't trying to push it too hard, but I was close with Matt in the final turn. So I just wanted to try to win. And the dust was incredible. There was so much dust there, I could barely see. And I just hit the cars a little crooked, and it was one of those lessons learned. I mean, I definitely, right when it happened, though, I was so mad at myself. I think I was like cursing myself in the truck and everything. And I think Mike realized that I was so mad at myself, and I had learned my own lesson there, that he honestly didn't yell at me. He didn't get mad at me or anything. And I was right on it, trying to get it all fixed and back together. As soon as it happened, I felt, because like I said, I definitely don't go out there to try to wreck somebody else's stuff. I mean, my goal is to be a really good driver and to be a winning driver, hopefully. But I respect the equipment. I try to my best. And sometimes it goes my way, sometimes it doesn't. And that was just one of those nights that it didn't go my way. But it was my 44th show as a driver, and that was my first ever rollover. So, I mean, I'd say that was a pretty good record, but it wasn't a good night, that's for sure.
I love how you keep count of all the different events you've been to. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, yeah. Just like you keep track of every truck and driver in the whole world.
That I do. But, hey, speaking of that, before you went back to Vodders, you got the call from Bill Payne, and you became, I think, the fifth or sixth different Spitfire driver in a row. Had been a cool full circle moment for you to go back with Bill and actually drive one of his competition trucks.
Yeah, that was cool. That had actually always been a dream of mine, because I've been hanging around Bill since before I turned 18, and I had always wanted to drive for him, and I'm sure he knew that. And I went there. It was in Yakima. It was in my home state, and I had no intention at all to go there and drive or do anything. Me and my girlfriend were just going down there to hang out. And I texted Bill and I said, hey, I just want to come hang out, help out. You don't have to pay me or anything. I just want to see you guys again, because it's been a long time. And I think it was like an hour before the pit party or a couple hours, he texted me and he was like, hey, you want to drive? You have your stuff with you? And I was like, heck yeah. So that's how that came about. And I mean, a lot of people don't know this either, but I always bring my fire suit and bring my stuff with me, even if I go to a show just to hang out, even if I have no intention or I know there's no chance in driving, because that right there was a prime example that an opportunity knocked when I didn't even ask or expect of it. And who knows if he would have had something for me, but that's why I bring my stuff. I know Dallas, he's watching. I think one time he had said, he didn't have his stuff with him, so he missed out to drive Bounty Hunter or something. So ever since then, I've just kind of always had that superstition. Like, you never know. I'm just going to bring my stuff with me. And if I need it, I need it. I don't. That was one of those times where it proved that I'm glad I took everything.
See, that's what I'd always tell any future Monster Jam employees. You never leave home without a polo in your credential. You never know when your phone could ring and
get dragged
on a plane somewhere.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, you're back with Vodders and you're running the summer events. And then the decision was made for you to go out to Monster Jam University. What was going through your mind when you found out that you got to go to Paxton and learn and train to become a triple threat athlete?
You know, it was fantastic. I was definitely nervous because I wasn't nervous at all, really, about the monster truck aspect about it. I thought I had that down going in. It was the ATVs I was nervous about because, once again, I never came from a motorsports background, just a super fan. So I had never actually driven an ATV in my life. I think just the pit ATVs, pit quads I've driven around, but that was a whole new experience for me trying to learn those. I'd say I struggled on those. But overall, the experience was great. I learned a lot. Everybody was super humble and nice. The group that I was there with, everybody was awesome, really nice. Nothing bad to say about anybody. I had a crying moment there because I couldn't believe it. It's when something's been your dream for so long, and that's why I say, like, a lot of drivers say, like, oh, when I was a kid, I've always wanted to do monster trucks and fell into it and had a passion for it. But, like, anybody that knows me, I've had, like, the biggest passion for this. And to reach that moment and to be at that point, it was definitely emotional. And, I mean, heck, one of my dreams for a while back in the past was to drive an El Toro Loco truck. And I actually was driving a Becky's El Toro in Paxton, so that was just a pretty neat deal altogether. And awesome experience to even have a Monster Jam diploma or whatever that says my name on it. It's unreal. So forever grateful for that. And without Mike too, that would have never happened. So I owe a lot to Mike for that.
Well, I went on your social media and I picked out some pictures for our new segment that we came up with a couple weeks ago. It's called Explain That Photo. So let's get right into it, and we'll have Phil start it off.
Okay, explain this picture.
Just extreme excitement, because that was my first real Monster Jam event, I should say. I did one Monster Jam event, my first one, back in Halifax. It was the last show at Scotia Speed World 2018 in the bus, but that was it. And I hadn't had any other experience until Nashville, the first triple threat, my first weekend out. I was like, man, I was so nervous because you had like Colton Eichelberger, Mark List, so many great drivers. And I was there basically thinking, you know, I'm just going to get through the show. I'm just going to try not to break anything, just show everybody that I'm capable of doing these triple threat events. And then I go out there and just ran my own race, didn't get in my head in the racing contest. I think it was the Saturday night show or afternoon show, like the first or second show of the weekend. And then I won racing in the finals against Colton. And I just, like, everything from there, I just got out of the truck, started jumping around, screaming, super excited. Tom actually had told me, he was like, slow down, like, on your interview, because he said I was doing a really good job, but just slow down a little bit because I was talking so fast because of how excited I was. I was acting like Jim Kohler out there screaming in the microphone, but that's all that was. Like, that was just pure, raw excitement of my whole life building up together in one moment just to win that show was amazing, and I don't even – to this day, there's certain accomplishments that I have. It's like, wow, like, did I really do that? So that was one of those moments for sure.
Well, we have another moment that I picked out. Phil's going to like this one. Explain this photo.
That was Glendale, Arizona, I think back in 2016, and I was there to help Kelvin and Rosalie once again. I had hit them up. I was with Sam at the time, living in Arizona, so it was a local show to me at the time. Just wanted to help out, hang out, and pit party. Rosalie had, I think, had her crew. I don't know who was there crewing for her at the time, but they were just making flowers out of a. They were just making flowers and giving them to fans, and I just got dragged into it. And Phil came, and we made a couple together. So that's what that deal
What a special moment you two shared together.
was. I guarantee
Going from
most
making
fans.
flowers, arts and crafts, to a drive-in monster jam.
I guarantee no fans received any of my flowers that night.
Oh,
Yeah, man, I love it. So you got to be a Triple Threat Series athlete this year. You're on a very competitive tour. Fortunately, your tour didn't like formally finish before everything kind of slowed down, but you were competing against so many great talents, and at that point, so many veterans. How much did you learn from the other athletes on your tour, and did you kind of build any rivalries or friendships with any of the competitors and staff on the tour?
I mean, there was definitely a lot to learn. I just did a lot of watching of everybody, and it did get to the point where, like, I mean, my goal there, it wasn't to win this year. It was to just make it, like, keep up and try to keep up and make sure I didn't tear up too much and just prove that I was capable to be there. And I think I did in the short time that we had on the tour, unfortunately, before it all ended. I mean, I got that racing win in there. I got quite a bit runner ups on there, and I mean, I was friendly with everybody. I'd say Justin Sipes, he talked to me a lot, and he gave me a lot of advice. I had a rivalry there. I feel a little bit with Colton towards the beginning because, especially with the speedsters, we crashed our speedsters a lot. And I crashed into him, and there was one race specifically in the speedsters in Rosemont where I was winning. I believe it was the final round, and my speedster died in the second to last turn. And then he came up behind me, and he was bumping me to try to push me out of the way. And then he ended up going into reverse, driving around me. And then, of course, at that time, I finally get my speedster started back up. And then so I'm chasing him in the final turn, and then his speedster dies on him without me knowing, and I push him over the finish line. So it was a crazy race. Me and Matt Cody too. Like, I mean, teammates. What can I say? I'm always out gunning for him, and I got him a couple times. But Matt really did a good job this year and everything. And that was my main thing to learn was to just watch and I mean, not try to drive over my head. And, like I'm not there to be the superstar. I'm there to learn, and I'm there.
Well, you're there to learn a lot, and you became a very
That's
strong
always better.
competitor. So you got to drive the Monster at Rottweiler. It's a very, well-known name. It's one of the many breeds of Monster Mutt. Did you have any say on what truck that you'd be driving, and what was it like to represent Monster at Rottweiler?
Someone's cutting out here.
I think it's you, buddy.
Well,
But,
now you're good now. I didn't hear your last statement after I
oh,
was
well, we're
done.
just talking about Rottweiler. You drove Rottweiler. Did you have any say on if you were driving Rottweiler or not? Did you have a choice on what truck you would have drove? And what was it like driving Rottweiler during the tour?
There was no say because it was kind of already like that for a few years. Like Matt was Blue Thunder for the longest time, and Rottweiler went from JR Thesok to Corey, and then there was me. So it just kind of fell in. That's the way it was going to be. And it's the same chassis that I've been used to driving. So it just all kind of fell together like that. But I really did. I liked driving that body. It put a lot more confidence in me too, because not necessarily saying go out there and oh, not care anymore because I can wreck the body all the time. But there was a little bit more of, this is Monster Jam, and if you're going to try and if you're going to go out there and step it up a little more. Now's the time to do it. And they knew that. Monster Jam knows that. That's what they want from you. So to drive that truck, it was a really neat experience. I could see better out of it. And it was just awesome. I mean, whatever truck I drive, I just go in with the same mentality, just to do my job accordingly and to drive how hard I need to drive for that given show.
Well, thank you for saying that, because you answered Travis Palm's question. He wanted to know which is easier to see out of, Mossman, Rottweiler, and or Higher Education, and definitely Rottweiler.
Yeah. I mean, at first, Rottweiler, I was sitting so low in the seat, I had to do a lot of changes to my seat. And now Corey Snyder, I don't know if he's watching this, but he wants it back because it was his seat. But after it took a few weeks for me to get fitted into it right. But when I was originally sitting in it before first quarter, the hood basically came up right to my eyes. So I had to raise myself quite a bit to actually be able to see out of it. But at that point, yeah, night and day difference.
So throughout your experiences on tour, I would definitely say that your Nashville win was probably your biggest accomplishment or your most favorite moment. What were some other favorite moments that you had on tour?
Just Monster Jam, the Triple Threat Tour, or overall?
On the Triple Threat Series.
Well, one big moment, I almost won this too. It was Two Wheel Skills in Pittsburgh. Total mistake. I went up for one of my typical sky wheelies, and the truck like came down, and then it ended up falling backwards a little bit, and I slammed it into reverse, and it completely twisted. A complete 180 on me, and it fell over and then landed back on its tires, fell off the pod. I remember seeing the officials run out there, and they were ready. They were going to get ready to do their deal or their recovery deal or whatever. And they're just looking at me like, what the heck? And I remember being so excited that I forgot that to do a second hit, because Two Wheel Skills, you can do two hits. I couldn't even believe what just happened. And so I get out of the truck and wave, and I got a really good score for it. I ended up getting second, but I realized after that, I was like, you know, maybe if I would have just did one more hit, I probably could have won that deal. But that was definitely a really awesome experience to do that. And then, you know, just being there in general, that was a great experience, and being around so many people and meeting so many new faces, going to places I've never been to. I had a Vince Sims come out and help me out a couple times. He's been crewing for us here and there. And he's a really hard worker. I met him in Mississippi when I drove for Dylan and brought him on, because I remembered he did a really good job. And to work with him and work with Rico and Matt and just have the team that we had, it was a really awesome team. Daniel, he was there. I'd say that was a big part. But yeah, just there's some highlights, like I said, with that wheelie, beating Matt Cody in a speedster race one time. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, that's probably the gist of it.
What about when I showed up in Charlotte and I didn't tell you?
Oh yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah, though, that weekend, I wish I could have done a little better that weekend. That was actually one of my rougher weekends on the whole tour. I think I broke a wheel off there, watched it roll away and hit the wall. I was like, no, like trying to reach out for it. But yeah, no, there was rough weekends, but even in the rough weekends, you know, there was a lot of teamwork there. It was really fun. And I mean, I'm glad I got to experience it. I'm glad you were there to see me.
I'm glad I was there too. I wish you would have won something, but I'll never forget that weekend, because that was the weekend that Mark List thought I shut him off in Two Wheel Skills when I have no control of an RII, and I was not a member of that tour.
Yeah, I don't remember that. You didn't say anything about that, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah, well, you know, you're a longtime fan, and, you know, I would like to think you still are a fan. So do you ever get starstruck when you're competing against certain people, or if you're around certain people? Do you still get starstruck?
I mean, I do for sure. But like, I mean, obviously I don't make it obvious or anything. I just kind of, I mean, I'm there at the end of the day. Like, I mean, I made it, I guess I could say. And I mean, I'm just trying to, I listen to everybody. When I talk to somebody, I talk to everybody like they're a normal person. We're all just normal people, monster trucking, big dreams. So, but there's always something cool about, like, even working for my boss. Like, you know, like I was watching Mike Botters since I was 5 years old, and there's nothing that'll ever change that. To be able to work with a legend like that, I mean, it becomes a regular thing, but I still will never forget where I came from. I'll never forget that I did that, that that was my life at one point, that he was my biggest hero, and he still is. It's just a different level now, and that's how it is. Jimmy Creighton, when I raced and beat him and Don's truck, that was pretty epic, because I've been watching him forever, and I have biggest respect for him too. And anytime I get to even come close to any of those guys or just be in the same area with those guys, it's awesome.
Well, we have a question from somebody you might know. It's from Fernando. He wants to know, what's your favorite city to go to, and why is it Anaheim?
Anaheim's my least favorite to go to, because there's this Fernando Martinez kid there. I mean, he just keeps bugging me all the time. Nah, I'm just kidding. No, my favorite Fernando, by the way, he helped me out both times in Anaheim, and he was really kind to actually let me come hang out with him, stay at his place for a little bit, and you know, he did a really good job. And I think he's another one where, I mean, I know he's got the he had the ambition to do this, and if he sticks with it, he's a good guy and he can go somewhere. But anyways, on a side note, my favorite place, I would definitely say to drive, Evansville, honestly, is one of my favorites, because it's just so laid back. Great group of trucks there. Always a stack lineup. Everybody just drives really hard. It's fun. And I mean, Nashville, of course, because so much happened for me there. I mean, really, any place where I just can make a good memory and it's a good weekend, I mean, all of those are my favorite.
Well, we're on the topic of locations. Do you have a venue you dream about driving in?
Definitely the Spokane Arena, or just anywhere in Washington, like the western side or the eastern side of Washington, or like, I know Post Falls, Idaho. I don't know if Bill or any of that crew is watching, but I'd say that show, believe it or not, is a big dream of mine, because my grandmother, actually, that's been involved a lot of this in my whole entire life in this dream. She has stage 4 cancer, so I guess my biggest goal in life is just to let her see me drive, like, just one time, you know. And she can't travel very far, and she can only go for so long riding in a car. And she usually just goes to her treatments and makes it to her appointments nearby. And she lives in Spokane, so she'd be able to make it out to, like, the Spokane Arena or Post Falls. And with the way things have been going, like Triple Threat, Monster Jam, you basically, it's all fleet drivers, or Creighton has his guys out there. So I've always felt like maybe if I ever got down there with Bill to drive one of those shows, that would be the chance. So I'd say that's probably a venue that I definitely would want to do before it was all said and done.
So we got a question from the one and only Byron Angry, and pull it up here on screen. He says, being a young driver and being around the block in the monster truck world, what truck has been your favorite to drive?
You know, see, that's always a tough one, because definitely, like, higher education has been what's given me the most opportunity and gotten my name out there. And I do very much enjoy driving that truck. It's done good for me. I've done a lot with it. But overall, I mean, I do have to say probably Tantrum, or maybe even Scarlet Bandit. They just handled so great, so perfectly. Scarlet Bandit, I didn't get to do much with it because they were little shoebox arenas on concrete. But, you know, those trucks, I just didn't feel a thing when I landed them. They would turn on a dime. They were fast. So I would say definitely Tantrum would be the favorite. But overall, Monster Mutt, the bus have been the ones that really have gotten my name out there. So I have more of an attachment to those.
So since you are such a seasoned driver and such a fan, if there was any truck past or present that if you had the opportunity to drive, what truck would it be and why?
Oh, geez. I guess what my goal is, it's not really a specific truck. I just know you got your list there of who's driven the most trucks. So if I could do anything, I just want to keep adding that list so I can be one of the most or one of the drivers in history to have driven the most trucks. So I always I guess that's always what I want to do. If anybody or if there was ever filling opportunities or whatever, I mean, I've always wanted to just rack up the list so I could be on Phil's famous list. But, you know, there's lots of trucks out there that, I mean, there's not one I don't think I'd say I wouldn't drive. I mean, if anybody asks you, you want to drive a monster truck, it's usually like, well, of course.
Yeah, so you've driven 11 trucks so far, and the current record holder is Craig Christensen with 44. So
yeah, got a long way to go.
Yes, you're close.
Yeah, got 30 more left. So any team owners out there, if you want to help me with my list. But just don't watch any videos of me crashing the bus or anything like that. You know, just well,
maybe that's why they'll hire you. You never know.
Yeah, you don't want to show anybody that. I won't do that.
Oh, man. Well, Preston, you know, I've been on the road with you a lot. My first 2 years of Monster Jam, you just so happened to be on tour. I don't know if that was fate or just coincidence or whatever you want to call it. Some kind of personal questions. You know, we've had a lot of fun on tour. What's your favorite part of Toronto?
Favorite part of Toronto?
What's your favorite thing to do in Toronto?
Go to Pizza Pizza in the middle of the night.
What about the St. Louis Bar and Grill?
Oh, the St. Louis Bar and Grill that's in Toronto.
And then we went to St. Louis like the next week.
Yeah, and then there was no St. Louis Bar and Grill.
Yeah, what a sham. Remember we were in Detroit and we went out to eat with David Zeras?
Oh, that was out in the – where was that? Detroit?
Detroit.
Oh, yeah. We packed like everybody in the car because my girlfriend was there, Brittany. I was giving her the 101 on what a monster truck show was because she had never seen or heard of what a monster truck was. And then like that, I think that night, here we are, this is the crew, and then we're all packed inside of this little vehicle. It was like David Zeras, and I think Andrew Castagna was in there, and we were trying to figure out where to eat. I think we knew where to eat, but it was like an hour drive, it felt like. And like Dave was like, man, like, why don't we just go stop at McDonald's or something?
Well, what happened was we had other plans to meet up with somebody, and as we were leaving to pick you guys up, Diesel Dave jumped in the car and he started getting cranky, like, well, where are we going? Like, so
it was quite a drive. I mean, I think I almost fell asleep while at Applebee's or wherever we were, but yeah, that was definitely an adventure.
Oh man, so many adventures. Yeah. But you know, that's why I appreciate it, because it's like I've known you since we were a bunch of dorks on the message boards, and to be out traveling around the world playing monster trucks, it's pretty wild. A bunch of dorks doing monster trucks in different countries and big buildings. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's what everybody is, basically. Whether they admit it or not, we're all big kids.
Well, you might go on another adventure, because Lee Plato's in the comments, and he says we will have to let Preston run the new full-size Skull Crusher and add to that list.
That'd be awesome. Don't worry, Lee. I won't. Like I said, I won't do what I did to the bus.
No promises, but
yeah.
So we got another question here from good old Travis Palm. How was it like driving the large track at ERX out there in Minnesota?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that was actually that was my fifth show ever driving a monster truck. So of course, Phil, you were at the first one. So I bet you can imagine what it felt like going from that to going to Elk River and being on the monster blog and a 20 truck show, basically. But, you know, it was really fun. There's a hero card out there that it's famous. Me jumping a school bus over another school bus. It came from that show. Danny Moss took the photo, and still to this day, Mike's selling those. It's one of the coolest pictures of me driving, I think. But yeah, no, it was fun just to be there with a lot of people I don't get to see very often and see some new faces. It was a really good experience to be a part of that.
So I've got to be curious here. What else is on your monster truck bucket list?
Well, of course, just like everybody else, I think I'd want to backflip eventually. You know, I know I have a long way to go, and that, I mean, I'm totally cool with that. I don't want to personally backflip or do anything. I want to earn my way there. I want to be able to go through the ranks and one day, hopefully, I mean, if it were a perfect world one day, if I could just be one of those drivers, I'm not trying to steal it from Matt Cody, because he said the same thing, but he worded it perfectly. And he had said that he just wants to be a driver that when you line up against him, Cody now, so we better tighten the belts. And I think he had the right idea. Like, if I could ever get to that moment where I'm just a well-known driver, and if you're going up against me, you know you got to tighten down the belts. I guess that's the overall goal. I mean, everybody says, like, if they want to win a world championship or whatever, that'd be awesome and fantastic, but I mean, I don't sweat it if that never happens. I just want to – I'm passionate about this. I love this a lot, and I just want to know that I belong and make sure that I prove that I belong and that I can be a good driver.
So you got to work with a lot of great people, especially with Vodders Motorsports. One of those mm-hmm. guys in particular is Mike Thompson. Do you have any fun Mike Thompson stories you could like to share?
I don't have a lot of stories, believe it or not. I mean, I didn't really know him as much as like Mikey and the rest of the Vodders clan. I mean, I was with him on his last ride home from a show that he helped us out at, and you know, getting to know him the time that I did, it was really awesome. We actually, the V2 Vids, Mikey's deal, they were shooting a potato gun at a fuel barrel and blowing holes through fuel barrels a couple weeks prior, and it was cool to be a part of that.
So I saw you looking up on a wall there. I don't know if that's where you're at in your house, but don't you have something pretty cool framed up on your wall?
Yeah, no, I'm not at that part in my house right now. That's the part where the floor's all torn up and there's dehumidifiers everywhere. If I walk out there, you're probably not going to hear me talk. But yeah, I do have a wall in my apartment. It's every truck I've ever driven, and then right in the middle, there's the diploma from Paxton. So yeah, if I do add to the list or drive any more trucks, that's just another picture to hang onto the wall. So hopefully one day I'll run out of space.
So you're a super fan collector. I know that very well. That's how I got to know you. Collected a lot of things over the years. Do you have a favorite piece of memorabilia in your collection that stands out?
Well, the biggest piece of memorabilia of anything Monster Truck related has to be one of my trophies. I did win a trophy while driving for Dylan, and that was pretty neat, because a lot of shows do nowadays, they don't actually give out trophies. So it definitely makes it's better incentive for drivers to drive harder and all that. And that weekend, I was on a mission to win the wheelie contest, and I got it, first trophy. So that's probably my biggest piece that I take pride in. But as far as just receiving a collector's item, I do have a world finals qualifier flag from I don't remember what year. It was one of the 07, 08 years, whenever they did that. And having one of those, I think, is pretty cool.
Well, you know, I have a question for you, Preston. We have a lot of Rigs of Rods guys in the comment section. You got Travis Palm, Fernando, Giovanni. But I want to know, you know, when you're on Rigs of Rods, we saw you in the Outlaw Monster Trucks, the virtual events. How does driving on the virtual Rigs of Rods game compare to real life? Do you ever practice on Rigs of Rods, maybe to implement some new stuff into the real world?
Not really. I think honestly, the biggest thing I did learn from Rigs of Rods was probably the rear steering. Cause, most guys, when they run the rear steering, whatever direction they flip the toggle switch is the direction that the truck will go. But, I'm the opposite, or the old school way. If I flip my rear steer switch to the left, my truck will go to the right. So, I actually changed the buttons on my controller while playing Rigs of Rods to the same direction, and I got my brain used to it for quite a while. So when it went into driving the real thing, that helped me a lot, train my brain into how to run the truck. Because like I could just easily flip the switch around, but pretty much all of Mike's trucks were set up the old school way, and I just wanted to learn that way. So I forced myself to kind of get used to that, and now that's the way I prefer. I don't like driving the new style.
So as we start to wind down here, do you have any advice for anybody that's looking to get into the business, whether being a driver or any other role in monster trucks?
I mean, just do what I did. Like, don't give up. I know it sounds cliche, but it really is true. I mean, if you just work hard and don't give up, and I mean, sometimes I'll admit I've been there. You might feel like you're not getting anywhere. You might feel like, I mean, other people are getting somewhere quicker than you, but just you got to look past that. I mean, sometimes your opportunity will come soon. Sometimes it won't. And then when it does come, just always be very grateful of it and appreciate it. Just like, I mean, I appreciate everybody from Scott Heaton all the way to Mike Bars. I appreciate everybody that's helped me and that's been there. And so just do your job, work hard, put yourself out there, and don't give up. That's really all I can say, and always be humble about it. And always, too, have faith in God, because he's there for you, too.
So when this is all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
You know, I mean, I kind of what I answered earlier. I just want to be a good driver, a good well-known, I mean, somebody I guess I could compare to. I mean, like Cody Saucier is all around a great mechanic, a great driver, his heart's in it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there like that. You know, he's not the only one, but I want to be somebody like that. And my struggle with not being very knowledgeable, not knowing a whole lot where I came from, it is a struggle. But if I could just break through that, and one day I'll be driving a rig down the road, hopefully. I'm sure Matt or Mike's watching this. They're just like, ooh, like maybe not. Like, you know, like just to be known and respected. And I'd say that's the legacy.
Well, Monster Maniac, we've had a lot of fun here this evening. It's been great to learn some things about you, maybe that I forgot to remember. But
yeah, I got kicked off of that website because my mom and stepdad at the time made an account. I think they thought I was making multiple fake accounts.
I'm sure you didn't do that, but I'm sure some others did. That's the way that we used to run around on the message boards.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I've had a lot of fun here chit-chatting with you. I know Vinny has had the same. It's been really cool to kind of work in this industry right alongside you and see where we've both kind of grown and continue to excel. It's been really super fun, and I don't know what else to say. What else you got to say, Vinny?
Well, Preston, I'm happy you joined us. It's nice to hear from, you know, someone who, with your background, coming from a super fan and to where you are now, it's definitely cool to hear your story. But we want to thank you for coming on, and maybe we'll have you on in the near future.
All right, cool, man. Thanks for having me.
No Bye, problem. Buddy.
See you later, Preston.
I love that, man.
Cool Thanks guy. For sharing, Bill.
Preston for president, whatever Fernando says. Preston for president.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what we do at the end of every episode? We talk about what's to come next week. Now, we've had many requests to bring this particular guy on. Definitely an awesome dude, and love to hear him talk, that's for sure. Phil, can you give any more hints on who our next guest might be?
Well, he represents Young's Automotive. He represents Venture's First Stop over at Maverick. And he might be called the Mav. He might be called the Dunk. And he's our guest next week. Let's roll the video. Well, hey, one of the most colorful personalities in all of the West Coast monster truck scene, it's Ron Duncombe of the Maverick Monster Tractor. He'll be our guest next week. Ron's been around for many years now, whether it be in monster trucks or other forms of motorsports, and he has a lot of great stories, and he's going to be a great guest here on the podcast. We've had a lot of fun here on the podcast. If you weren't with us last week for some reason, you missed out on an all-time classic with Terry Woodcock. It's the most watched monster truck podcast of all time. So if for some reason you were not one of the 4,500 people that watched that episode, go back and watch that. If not, check out some of our other episodes that we've done over the last number of months. We've interviewed so many interesting people, and I know Ron Duncombe is going to be even more interesting next week here on the podcast.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have MJ back next week, but we'll see. Yeah, what Phil said, if you haven't seen the Terry Woodcock episode, I mean, I was sitting back in my chair enjoying listening to him. So we're going to have Terry on in the near future again. But Ron Duncombe, you know, like you said, Phil, it's going to be a great episode. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what he may share? Lots of funny stories, and I'm excited to see it. We'll see you next Friday, 6 o'clock Pacific time.